Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast for the week of October 13th. This week we have Matt Malone, Jesuit scholastic here at America, and Michael Sean Winters, a blogger for us, discussing the first presidential debate, which took place on Friday. And they also look forward to the first vice presidential debate, which is going to be taking place this Thursday. Michael Sean Winters, again, is the author of Left at the Altar, How the Democrats Lost the Catholics and How the Catholics Can Save the Democrats.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm just great. Just great.
So do you think we had a winner on Friday night?
Yes. I think Obama won both on points and in the way that the debate plays out more generally, that McCain needed the game changer more than Obama, and if he wasn't going to get it on a foreign policy debate, he's not going to get it at all.
Right. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. A tie goes to the runner here, and McCain these debates are really the major opportunity that he has left to really change the game, and he wasn't able to do it on Friday night.
I was surprised he did. I mean, I'm still surprised, and we'll see how it plays out. I really thought, and I was reassured by other friends who are more plugged in than me, that he would not do it. But I thought he was going to show up in Mississippi and denounce the bailouts.
Yeah.
And I think that may have been his chance to do the game changer. The reason he couldn't do it may not be cynicism, but as he showed in the first half hour of the debate, he's so uncomfortable discussing economic issues.
Yeah.
And again, in the interview Sunday morning with Stephanopoulos, you know, I think if he had been pushed to actually explain how the provisions of this bailout were going to achieve their objective, I don't think he could do it.
Right.
Now, I don't think there are maybe more than 500 Americans who could do that very easily.
Right.
But we would want one of those 500 to be the next president of the United States. And I don't think there's any doubt that Barack Obama could, in broad outline, understands the problem, can speak about it, and knows enough to, you know, very articulately hold his nose while voting for something that's necessary.
Right, right. Well, it's a very curious situation that McCain finds himself in, because he's really sort of, he's trapped between these sort of the conservative base that hates this bailout bill and the rest of the country, right, which is almost exactly where he was on immigration.
I think the vast majority of the country thinks it's a horrible idea, but there's two things. One,
I think they seem to think that it's a necessary
right,
horrible
right.
idea.
Well, yeah. And if it were to fail, that necessity would certainly become apparent, so I don't think he can risk that.
Right.
The second part, where it's in his interest, is to get this off the newspaper pages, to get this off the front page, and to get the focus back onto character, if there's a bomb explosion in Pakistan or something
right.
like that, he wants this to go away. And otherwise, I think he's looking at, you know, a kind of massive break in the swing states, which I suspect by Tuesday and Wednesday, you're going to see the polling effects of all of last week, of
right.
his faux suspension of his campaign, of the I'm not going to debate. Well, actually, never mind. I will debate, and then a kind of mediocre debate performance. I think you'll start to see in some of these swing states. You already did by the end of last week, starting to see Obama break the 50% margin in some of them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's critical. You know, it's one we're what, 5 weeks out.
Right.
It's one thing to be ahead by 4 points if it's 48-44, but when you're ahead 51-47. Not a lock. There's always can be a banana peel or something else, but that's really hard for the challenger.
Yeah.
You then have people who have gone on record saying,
as soon as you break
we're
50.
Favoring this guy.
Yeah.
You've got to bring them back to undecided and then bring them back your way. You really do need something, and the kind of he can't manufacture that anymore. I mean, the other thing that was apparent last week when he made that announcement, I'm going back to Washington, was the press corps, which I think, you know, really viewed the Palin choice as a cynical move. They are not going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And
right.
so when he said, I'm suspending my campaign, they immediately said, look, this is just, you know, a sleight of hand. This is a political gambit. This is not,
kind of
this is not
right.
serious. This is not putting your country first. This is putting your campaign first. And don't fool us. You know, what else might he do? Stand up in at the last debate and say, you know, I'm going to be a one-term president?
Right.
Those kinds of things that might actually change the debate if he still had credibility with the press corps. I think that's gone.
Right. I think you see in the media that the narrative is changing. Right. We have, particularly, last week, the story that's now being told in the media is this was an erratic John McCain who couldn't quite figure out how he wanted to deal with this, right, and couldn't quite figure out how to take advantage of the situation, right. We also see the narrative around the Sarah Palin pick changing, right. I mean, the bloom is sort of off the rose as far as Sarah Palin's concerned. She had that sort of train wreck with Katie Couric, right?
I think the bloom is off the rose. It's been raked. It's bagged. It's already been picked up by the crew.
Right. And now, now that's no longer looking like a pick that was ingenious as much as it was, one of questionable judgment.
Right. Well, right. And I think it will continue. I mean, I think we're all looking forward to Thursday night. Debate between Sarah Palin and Joe Biden. I hope Joe Biden's people are telling him his job in this debate is to be boring, to make no news, to just let the focus be on her. He doesn't have to be aggressive about it. He just has to let Sarah, as they used to say about Reagan, let Reagan be Reagan.
Right.
Let Sarah Palin be Sarah Palin. Right. And if it's the Sarah Palin that showed up to be interviewed by Katie Couric, it's going to be self-evident. I think she, after Thursday, diminishes as a campaign issue. What will continue as we go on is, the McCain campaign will have to try to come up with some ideas to change the game. And so I think the debate, the focus the last 4 weeks that emerged in the narrative of the last week is this idea that he's erratic.
Right.
That again, he will do anything to win. And some of that could be ugly. We have to be prepared for that. I don't have any reason to think they're going to play the race card, because that can boomerang against you so horribly. But I wouldn't ask them after the events of this last week.
Right. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the debate that's upcoming between Palin and Biden. I think it's kind of a high risk. It's a high risk situation for him. Because of his history as someone who sort of can ramble on and on. And can appear aggressive even, when he's not. But there's this Lazio effect. We recall back in the Senate debate between Hillary Clinton and Rick Lazio. When he walked across the stage and approached her podium, and it was seen that this was a guy intimidating a woman, taking advantage of that situation, and. You're right. If I were advising him, I would say, look, you just got to be calm, cool, collected, stay focused, and let her do her thing. I don't know if he's capable of that though, given his history.
He does have a tendency to stumble on his own bicuspids more than any walking.
And I do think that they are worried about this Lazio effect. I mean, this is kind of new terrain in a sense. So.
Right. Right. And I don't know the answer to the question of the actual stage setup. Are they standing? Are they sitting?
Right.
Because he's a very tall man.
I mean,
he's a physically very, imposing figure. And I'm hoping they're sitting down and that's kind of leveled. I hope they suggested that. I don't know. But, no, I suspect part of his debate prep is to see those tapes of the Lazio-Clinton debate.
Right.
And just have drummed into him, Joe, this is how not to do it.
Right.
And I think you saw that, there were plenty of opportunities Barack Obama had Friday night debating John McCain to slap back, to show some snideness, to show the kind of qualities that he showed. I'm thinking of the debate between he and Hillary Clinton just before the New Hampshire primary,
right,
when he said, you're likable enough.
Right.
And that really put her back in the game. That cost him the New Hampshire primary and really angered women out there,
right,
who showed up for Hillary that day. And he resisted that. And so, whoever's doing the debate prep, I mean, they got it right with Barack, who's shown himself to be a very quick study. I hope that Joe, they're doing the same thing with him and saying, Joe, your job is just to make sure that the next day, you get mentioned in paragraph 7
right.
of every story about the debate. That
right.
that it does not lead with you. It leads with Sarah Palin, and let her make the news. And I, you know, either way, it's the vice president. I don't think it's ultimately going to matter that much.
Right.
This is their swan song. We don't hear that much from them. She, after this debate, I think it's parked in small towns in Ohio and Indiana, and some of the swing states, and Missouri, some of the swing states where she could be effective.
Right.
Biden is going to be parked in Scranton, Pennsylvania, you know, and,
right.
and probably south,
right.
south, southeastern Ohio. So, I think, you know, he's a fine debater. I don't know his history of Senate debates, if he's ever had to debate women or anything like that, but he just has to be real cool, real calm, and boring as humanly possible.
Right, right. Which, you know, he's not accustomed to doing deliberately.
No. It's going to be fun to watch.
Right.
I mean, it really does all come down to character studies.
Yeah.
And we saw that, I thought, Friday night, where, you know, again, both candidates were on display. I mean, Barack was as cool as a cucumber. You know, if you wanted passion, if you're a contributor to MoveOn.org, you were not impressed by
right.
Barack Obama on
right.
Friday night. You want the red meat. And he just seems, you know, preternaturally, you know, even-tempered. And
right.
But I think after, you know...
Well, that was his goal. I mean, I think his goal was to get out there and appear presidential, right?
Right, absolutely. And it's ironic that the newcomer ends up looking presidential, and the man with 26 years of Washington experience who's going to be the oldest president were he to win is the tantrum thrower.
Right.
You know, it is an interesting dynamic to see, but it is critical for Obama to just continue to stay calm, cool. But I don't think he has to try to do that. Biden has this other challenge, which is he has to be out of character on Thursday night.
Right. Right. Right.
But. I think we will start seeing before Thursday night's debates in the polls, Barack crossing that 50% threshold in some of these swing states.
Right.
And that's, you know, we have to remember the last Democratic presidential candidate to get 50% of the vote in this country was Jimmy Carter in 1976.
Right.
Bill Clinton never broke 50%.
Right.
And, so
well,
that's
interesting. I see. I keep thinking that every time, but every time people keep saying, "Oh, he's not above 50. He's not above 50. He's not above 50." And I said, "Well, no Democrat has been above 50 since '76."
Right.
Right.
But it's, you know, I think he is. Well, he is above 50 in some of these states. I think in Michigan,
yeah,
in the most recent
right.
polls, he's been above 50,
right.
and I think it was Wisconsin.
Right.
People
are talking about the national number when they mention that most of the time. Yeah.
Right. And all the toss-up states. The polls, McCain is above 50 in none of them. Not
right.
even the ones that are leaning his way, Missouri, Ohio, Indiana, and North Carolina, and Florida, he's at 47 or 48.
Right.
And so he's not close to the deal in those states. And state polls are the only ones that matter now.
I mean,
you know, that's the key thing here is that we start looking at those. And they're very hit or miss. You know, I'm no polling expert. I don't know their methodologies. I always look at the sample size and things like that. And,
right.
try to see their prior two polls or a poll of that state that they ran in the primaries and how close they were then. I mean,
right.
that's a useful point of analysis to see if it's a good pollster or not. But when you see three or four of them showing Barack at 50-51% in Michigan, then McCain has to think of it, if it's still worth putting money into that.
Exactly.
What's your prediction? It's election day, election night, electoral vote.
I know too much to make a prediction. That's the main thing. I don't know. You know, as I said, I think I know too much to make a prediction. But
I was just talking with my neighbor, and we had this conversation, and I'm going out on a limb at 3:40 for Barack Obama. I think the swing states, the undecided voters, they're all undecided for the same set of reasons, barring a banana peel.
Right.
Right. Eight of the 10 swing states are going to break his way.
It's going to be plus 70 in the Electoral College.
Hmm?
It'll be plus 70 in the Electoral College.
I think he'll be coming around 340, 344 in that area. I think, you know, he may lose a Missouri and a Florida, or he may lose Missouri and Indiana, or Indiana and Ohio. I don't know what the arrangement is, but my guess is he's going to end up winning 7 or 8 of the 10 or 11 key battleground states. Because, you know, each of these states, it's most important whether it's they're in the South, been in the north or in the Midwest so much as how is he running in the suburbs? What's happening with it? You know,
that's right.
Share the independent vote in these states.
That's right.
Like that. And demographically, a lot of these states look somewhat similar. He appears to have already put away Colorado and New Mexico. Nevada is really, I think, the only state that's still listed as a toss-up out in the west. And so that takes away that key. Well, the one demographic that was different out there was the Latino vote.
Right.
The Latino vote is also very important in Pennsylvania, around Lancaster, you have a very large, growing Puerto Rican population.
Yes, it's so.
Puerto Ricans, unlike other Latinos, are all citizens, so they can all vote if they're registered.
Mm-hmm.
You also have a large number of Puerto Ricans in that I-4 corridor in Florida, going from Tampa through Orlando and out to Daytona.
Right, that I knew. I wasn't aware of Lancaster, though.
Huh. And who knew? But I was driving through there, and all of a sudden, all the radio stations have this great Spanish music, and you see all these restaurants for you know, Puerto Rican food, and I'm like, what's going on? So I made some inquiries, and yes, it's a large, and they have three radio stations, and you know, it's a very large, growing community. Who knew? But I don't think it will be decisive in Pennsylvania. It may prove decisive in Florida.
Right.
And I think Barack has locked up the Latinos sufficiently in Colorado and New Mexico, where, again, I think in both states he's polling at 50 or above now.
It's going to be interesting.
I can't wait to get to the newspaper. I mean, I let the dogs out first, but I can't wait to get to the newspaper. That's a good feeling.
That's exactly right. Okay, Michael. All right. We'll talk to you later.
We'll talk to you after the next debate.
Bye-bye.
Thank you again for joining us for this week's edition of the America Magazine podcast. Tune in next week when we'll have the sports writer from the New York Times, Dave Anderson, with us, who has an article in the upcoming issue talking about the world of sports and also his long career. Just a reminder that you can comment on our podcast at americamagazine.podbean.com. This is Tim Reedy for America Magazine.